My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode on Sunday, July 17th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you rate your podcast. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 588. There's no guest. It's just me sitting in my apartment late on a Sunday afternoon, getting a podcast in for the 30 plus of you that really enjoy this thing. My apologies for the delay. I'm doing some shows at Levity Live, opening for Tommy Davidson. We got one more tonight. So I've just been busy running errands and doing stuff. So you will get this soon. You'll get this. You'll probably get this late Sunday night. So I'm happy to be talking to you nonetheless. The shows with Tommy Davidson have been pretty fun. The crowds are really good. It's been really fun to get to work out. So that was good. This past week, I had a show where I headlined in Naugatuck, Connecticut. I know a couple weeks ago, I said Naugatuck, Kentucky. And then I corrected myself. Then I said Naugatuck, Kentucky again. But it was, in fact, Naugatuck, Connecticut, and I had a good time. It was a shout out to the homie Keith Blair for coming. I was gonna say Keith like we say it in PG, but shout out to Keith Blair for coming out. It was really cool to see him. Keith was decked out, man. He had on a nice out. He, what did the young kids say? He had on a nice fit. He had on Keith, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like a lemon lime ensemble, a nice shirt, like lime green pants, I think, and some LeBrons that matched. I think they might be the LeBron South Beach, but he was killing it, man. He was killing it, man. So it was great to see him, great to hang with him. And the show, thank God I did well. I didn't bomb in front of one of my listeners, so that was great. It was kind of shaky at first, because there's some comedians, and this comes up all the time on the show. If you listen to this podcast or Three Guys On or any real podcast by some real fucking stand up comics, bro, is the thing where some comedians, when they have openers, they want the openers to be trash, and then so they can save the show and be good and be the best comedian. Usually the headline is supposed to be the best comedian and all that, but, and I'm not at the level where I'm picking, you know, I've had the opportunity to pick people to open for me and stuff like that, but I'm not touring like that where I want this guy to be, you know, you don't want any tomato cans opening for you. And it was, Ooh, it was pretty rough, and I was nervous because you want the show to be good. If you have people in front of you killing, that puts you on. You want to do well, and you want to keep the momentum going. It's kind of like a theater thing too, where it's like you're either listening to the show, in backstage, or like picking up on the energy of the show, or you're like by the curtain getting ready to go on, and you're taking that in, and you're trying to either maintain the energy or do something else with it in a positive way. So that's kind of how I feel about, you know, doing shows. And I think it just stems from theater, that all these parts are working together, even though stand up is a solo act, you know what I mean? In a lot of ways it is. It's just one person up there on stage doing their thing. So it ended up being a fun show. I was surprised. Like, I didn't know how country that place would be. I didn't know what to expect, really, because when you're driving up. I took the Merritt Parkway up, and you're driving, you're taking those exits. It's like you don't know where you're going to be. But it just reminded me of, like, it was almost like it was just an extension of New York. It was kind of country. Like a country type, not like a hillbilly type thing, but it's just like very in the middle of nowhere. I kind of called it. I did call it a making a murderer town, and I said somebody killed somebody, and somebody was like might have been dating interracially, and somebody didn't like it. But anyway, I did have a good time, and so that was fun. And I was working on new stuff, repurposing some material, and working on new stuff, and trying to be a little free with it. But I had a good time there. And Monday, I got the call to ask if I was available to open for Tommy Davidson, and I thought I was going to be featuring, but they meant hosting. And usually some comedians, I'll never fucking host once I'm past that. But if it's club work, usually the MC in a lot, I don't know if that's a New York thing. It almost feels like it's a New York thing that the host, the MC, gets paid more than the feature, usually because it's the hardest job. And you got to, it's like more work, you know, but. Because you got to go up cold and all that stuff. I'll talk more about that on Patreon. I'm not going to do it now. I don't know how much time. And this is going to probably be a short one because I got some time constraints. But yeah, so I still had a lot of fun, and hopefully we close out strong tonight. Yeah, but it was fun because I got to work on some new stuff. Some of the stuff I was working on in, like, a couple weeks ago in Newark and Connecticut, it's kind of coming together in a way that I was hoping that it would. And I was watching Bill Burr's latest special live at Red Rocks, his Netflix special. I watched it twice, and I liked it. There's a lot of structure things that I was looking at when I was paying attention to his special. I like how he puts some of his stuff together. I usually like how he puts his stuff together, but I was just paying more attention to his content and then some technical things that he was doing that I really appreciated. So that was very helpful for me this week. And I feel like I'm slowly getting back to that place that I felt like I was in 2020 as far as just being, you know, maybe possibly turning another corner. I'm just constantly trying to put it together. So that's been fun. That's been a delight. And speaking of more comedy, I'm going to be in Red Bank, New Jersey on the 21st at the Kings of the Craft Barbershop down in Red Bank. That should be fun. Like I talked about it a couple weeks ago. It should be like, it's going to be comedy in a barbershop. I know there's a comic that has a show in the city. I've never done that show in the barbershop, So this would be my first time doing something like that. And it looks like a cool, really cool spot, but I don't, it almost makes you low key want to cheat on your barber, but I don't think I will. If they shape up my beard, would that be cheating? They didn't have to touch my hair, but if they gave me like a shape up on my beard, would that be, I don't know if that, that'd be considered cheating. I'll just probably see my barber, this week. I got to write about that. I mean, obviously they did this incredible episode on Atlanta. The people, I think it's just called Barbershop, but it's, most people call it the Bibby episode. So yeah, that's going to be, that's, I'm looking for that to be fun. And then in August, the only thing I have on the books right now, in August, I'm doing a show in at SOPAC in Orange, New Jersey, I believe. Let me see. It's called Laughs in the Loft, and it's hosted by a comic, Joe Larson, that I had the pleasure of meeting earlier this year. And he saw my work, and he's like, I want to put you on my show. And I was like, thank you, Joe Larson. I will come to the South Orange Performing Arts Center on August 3rd at 7:30. I'll be there. I like doing theater shows. I think it's going to be in a theater. So I'm always excited to get to do stuff, to work in new places and arts spaces and all that shit, man. I'm excited about that. So I'm going to have some time ready for that. I'm just really looking forward to that. So I'm happy. And then, you know, then stuff will come up with, hopefully come up with other stand-up gigs in the future that you can, or you may or may not come to, but I'm talking about it because I'm excited about it. I'm not even on the flyer for the Kings of the Craft show, but I will be there. And I posted the flyer anyway. That shows you how, I am. What does that say? That my ego is pretty stable, I guess. I don't know. Who knows what that is, man. RIP to the Knitting Factory. I just got reminded that the Knitting Factory over in Brooklyn is closing up in August. And it's definitely the end of an era. One of my friends in the text chain said, oh, are you guys going to the Knit? I think this tonight, as I'm recording, it might be the last Comedy at the Knitting Factory show happening, and that's bittersweet. I think the Knitting Factory might come back at another venue, because I'm reading this Instagram post. It says, it says, stay tuned for what's to come. Stay tuned for what's to come and some final show announcements. In the meantime, come say goodbye and catch a show while you can. Don't fret, you'll see us again in the coming months. So maybe they're just moving to another venue. Hopefully they are. But it's still the end of an era, because that's a room, as far as comedy's concerned, as a music venue, I've seen some shows there. I saw Jesse Boykins III there. I saw Odyssey there. I think if you do a deep dive in my Instagram, you'll see, like, I took a clip of Jesse Boykins III performing there, a great R&B singer. I've seen Odyssey there. I don't know how many, and I think it was just a couple of music shows that I've been to, but other than that, it's been comedy. And the Knitting Factory gave Hannibal Buress Sunday nights there, and that was a place where I was able to cut my teeth. I was able to perform there a couple times over the years, and it was always like a special event, because I see myself as a bit of an outsider when it comes to the comedy world in New York, where I'm not always invited up to those big, cool, hip shows. But when I do go there, when I do get booked, I try to make an impression. It's not really a small percentage of it, I guess, would be me having a chip on my shoulder. But for the most part, I just want to do a great job. And it's a showcase of my work that I've been doing thus far, whether it's, you know, in the city or outside the city, cutting my teeth. And that was a place for me to really do my thing. And it's not, and it's not an easy room. There's been celebrities there that have bombed, the people that didn't do well. And over the years, it sort of became like, who's going to be there? Hannibal, for a long time, the main attraction was just Hannibal. He would host it on Sundays and do shows. And I remember my first time, he hit me up on Facebook and was like, hey, you want to do my show at the Knit? And that was like, at the time, that was the first big show that I got booked on. And I told my parents, I was like, man, mom, dad, the guy that writes for Saturday Night Live wants me to be on his show. And I was so excited. And it happened on my 30th birthday. And that was the day, that was a pre-canceled Louis C.K. followed me. I went up first. Carlita Durand from, she's an R&B vocalist. She sings with Little Brother and the Foreign Exchange sometimes, very talented artist. And JB, who is an MC and a local entrepreneur in Oklahoma, he was there. JB was on the pod like a long time ago. And they just happened to be in town. I think they came to that show. As a matter of fact, I believe they did. They did come to that show. And that was really fucking cool. That was a good night. And I did a solid job. I didn't like fucking murder, but the next times that I would go on, Hannibal wouldn't be there because he had gotten too big. He'd gotten too famous and he just got busy. He just got really busy and was on the road or either, you know, filming something or doing shows. So I was, Hannibal always looked out for me though. Like he would, now he's doing music. His name is Eshutune. I haven't listened to any of his music yet. I've seen interviews recently and seen clips of his stuff, but I gotta check his music out. But he was really kind to me and we weren't even like best friends like that, but he was a dude. I've talked about this all the time and I like giving people their flowers. He probably just be like, Chris, okay, weirdo. He'd probably say something. But when I was working with Chris Hardwick, I'd hit up Hannibal. I was like, hey, I got this big show with Hardwick coming up. Would you have any room for me to do it? And he put me on. He wouldn't even be there. He make sure I was on. And, you know, you would get paid doing that show. You get drink tickets. I didn't really use my drink tickets, not because I'm a saint or anything. It's just because I had to drive all the way back to Jersey from there. But it was, yeah, it was awesome. And just the energy in that room, man. I remember I saw like who's now a friend, my man, Damian Lemon, Ali Wong, who's like a huge star now. I remember they were doing a show. They were doing a show there and I went to check it out. Like I'd been a few times, you know, even when I wasn't on the show to watch and just get the energy. And it reminded me, and I even told the homie Lemon, like, I think when he was on the pod, it was that Heart Part 2 energy. Is that the Kendrick Lamar record? I always forget because I mentioned that before. The Heart, the one the Umi says, is that the Heart Part 2? I think it is. No, the Heart Part 1, I think. Dash, the Heart Part 2 is the Roots joint, the How I Got Over joint. Yeah, the Heart Part 1 when it's like J. Cole. Is it J. Cole running late? Do you think I could take his place? Like, I was like, oh, shit. You know, being in that energy, so people that were on another level, people that were in another class than me were doing their thing and killing it. And I was like, well, I hope I get my chance, you know? So that I remember just that energy being in that room. Really having the desire to go on and do a good job and try to kill that fucking crowd. And every time you go to that room, it was something special. And you had to compete with not necessarily other comics. It was just a place where you had to compete with that crowd in a lot of ways where they were waiting for famous people sometimes, because it got to the point where Dave Chappelle would come there, Chris Rock would come, whoever had a hot TV show. I remember actually Donald Glover was on that show with Lemon and Ali Wong. And it was just like, and I think maybe Community was popping off, but Donald Glover had some fame, you know, when he was on that show. So it might've been 2009, 2010. Yeah, man, that place has a lot of memories, and it's been around since I've been doing stand-up for 13 years. And, it's that thing where that audience is like, oh, we're going to see somebody famous. And, Andy Klein always says, like, you know, there's, sometimes there's two different shows. Like sometimes the audience is a show within a show, basically, where the audience is sometimes performing. Sorry, that's my alarm clock where I should have been up. I am awake, actually, and I'm doing a podcast and I'm being productive. Thank you, iPhone 12 Pro Max. I'm becoming a total fucking lemming that I have been saying that I wasn't going to be for years. You get a MacBook, you get a iPhone and the earbuds. It's like, oh my God, you're becoming a lemming. And I got the Apple TV Plus. I got the Apple TV, which, damn, like, I've had it for about a month. I think I was telling Rod and Karen this on Patreon. Like, I don't even turn my cable on anymore because I got these streaming services and stuff. I'm able to see all this stuff through the cable, like at least the HBO, Showtime, and Stars. I got to figure something out with all these streaming networks. And there's still more, you know, more streaming shows and all this crap. Anyway, but that was a place like, so the crowd would be trying to perform in a way like, oh, when you say, you know, it's a different beast. And the scene there, like I always say on this show, there was a, after like around 2011, 2010, 2011, when comics in the Meatpacking District closed down, it was this diaspora, this downtown comedy scene essentially moved over to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn became what it is now, which is a different beast than it was, you know, even like 10 or 12 years ago. But man, RIP to that place. Had a lot of cool memories there. Litmus tests that happened where it was just like, I can do these cool hip rooms and I can do the clubs and all that stuff. So it was really, really cool. And shout out to Hannibal Buress for his kindness, for putting a lot of comics on, myself included, and giving them the opportunity to show what they had. Then on a much sadder note, rest in peace to comedian, writer, and actor, producer Jack Knight. He passed away on Thursday, and the news just kind of came out Friday night. I was in the middle of doing shows at Levity and got a news about it in the thread. I did not personally know Jack Knight. He was in another generation, and he was doing stuff in a little in New York, but a lot in L.A. And I remember just seeing him, his stand-up special. Like, I had heard of him and seen him in pictures and stuff. And you know how you see people and you know of people online, and then you when you meet them, like, oh yeah, I've seen your name on stuff. And but I did not have the pleasure of meeting him. But he was a talented motherfucker from what I saw. The work that I saw in his stand-up, Bust Down was a silly ass show in a good way. And he was funny on that. And it's just sad. Nobody knows the cause of death. There's rumors, but nothing's been released in that regard. But just a talented guy. He was 28 and seemed like he had the world set before his feet. And his just life was just, now he's gone. And when I got home last night, I got home this morning because we got home after midnight. I had saved some of his sets on my watch later on YouTube and just watched his half hour. He did like this half hour at Dynasty Typewriter. It was really good. He was like this fearlessness that he had talking about race, but more importantly, like more interestingly, sexuality and all kinds of things. The poise that he had, the looseness he had in his act. The fluidity that he had, and technically sound, really funny guy. And it's just sad. I mean, it's nothing more you can really say. It just fucking sucks that a young, talented guy like that is gone and he hadn't even reached his fullest potential, you know. It's always sobering to hear that and hear about something like that. And you kind of just wish that you would have gotten to know him or would get the chance to work with a person like that someday. Because it only, like, that stuff only makes you better, you know. So that fucking sucked. So RIP to that man. Condolences to his family and friends and people that really knew him and really loved him. I just it just bums me out, but I thought I'd just, you know, put his name out there in the ether and should respect, because I remember seeing that stand-up special. I was like, oh, this dude's fun, because you see guys like that. Oh, he's this young, good-looking guy, one of the new people. How come he's getting that stuff and I'm not? How come I didn't get that stuff when I was his age? It's easy to go there, but then you see him, it's just like, oh, this motherfucker's funny. He's good, you know. Yeah. Such a, what a tragic loss, man. On a lighter note, I got my car washed this week at this place I've been wanting to get my car washed. It looked, because I was gonna do it a week or two ago, and then I just got really busy, and then this past week a bird's like just had diarrhea all over my car. And I was working from home that this past Thursday, and I said, I'm taking it to this new car wash. And I took it there, and it was like in a few towns over, maybe like 20 minutes away from me. It would be a place that I would go after I got off work, after, when I was driving, like when I'm driving back through Jersey and, you know, on my way home or whatever. And I went. And they have like all these different packages, and I had them, they detailed the car, they cleaned inside, they cleaned the dashboard off and threw some junk away and cleaned it up really good. I'm definitely going back. It was a nice car wash. It's like one of those old school places where you drop your car, you drive up, and it goes into the line, you know, the line where the track where it pulls your car through the conveyor. Excuse me. And yeah, so it does that. And then you go through the actual building, and the place smells so good. It smells like air fresheners. They have air fresheners all over the fucking place. I'd never seen, it'd been a long time since I've seen something like that, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen that many air fresheners in one place. So I had to buy some. I bought some new car smell, pine trees. So that was cool. And I think now I'm in their club so I can get points. Closter Car Wash. If you find yourself in Bergen County, New Jersey, go to Closter Car Wash. Really nice. I'll definitely go back. And I think I saw, and I did see rapper, actor Dave East was there. I didn't want to bother him because I wasn't 100% sure that was him. But he plays Method Man on the Wu-Tang American Saga show that I really enjoy. And then they did have this lounge chair that, like, this vibrating massage chair thing. And apparently, I guess that was his, he liked to do that. Maybe the last time he was there, somebody was in there and he couldn't sit because the cashier said, oh, you get to use the seat this week. And he was like, yeah, seemed like a really nice guy. He's like just fucking enjoying himself. He had an Escalade, because when I went out to like just hang out and wait for my car, I saw his Escalade, beautiful Escalade, and I was like, oh, that's Dave East. But I probably, I wish I would have said something, but I didn't want to be like a, I don't think I would have blew up his spot, because we were the only black people there. So I could have just said, hey man, are you Dave East? He'd be like, yeah. It's like, oh man, I love your show. Love you on the show. I auditioned a couple times, didn't book it. So, but you know, I was, you know, just saying, what's up, bro? You know? So, that was neat. And now I got a new car wash spot. Cause the last place I went to was like this gas station and somewhere in another town. And it wasn't that great. There is a place that's near me, but they're not as thorough as these guys. So I'll definitely go back. I want to give you guys a movie recommendation, and I got to get out of here, guys. I just got to get out of here, bro. Let me do that. So before the Friday show, after I got off work, I went to the mall and I saw Where the Crawdads Sing, which is directed by Olivia Newman, who did this film a couple of years ago called First Match, which is really good. And about this wrestler. Let me look it up here. First Match. It's a 2018 film. Hardened by years of foster care, a teenage girl from Brooklyn's Brownsville neighborhood decides that joining the all-boys wrestling team is the only way back to her estranged father. Really good. Olivia Newman wrote this too. And Olivia Newman's white, and she wrote this script about a black girl doing wrestling. Really like that movie. It's a solid flick. And so I said, you know, Where the Crawdads Sing, this is the biggest release of the week. We had Thor last week. Obviously, Top Gun's still killing. Jurassic Park seems to be doing well. This was just like a drama that wasn't, didn't have any superheroes or monsters in it. The monsters are the people. So let me read you this letterboxed blurb. Where the Crawdads Sing. Secrets are buried just beneath the surface. Abandoned by her family, Kaya raises herself all alone in the marshes outside of her small town. When her former boyfriend is found dead, Kaya is instantly branded by the local townspeople and law enforcement as the prime suspect for his murder. Now, I gave this one a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. I thought it was a solid movie. I was entertained. I woke up at 4:30 that Friday morning, and I did not fall asleep while watching this. I was entertained. It kind of has the vibe of obviously it's a murder mystery mixed with a little bit of Nicholas Sparks, even though this is a film that it's not a Nicholas Sparks novel, but with regards to how the film plays, it's kind of like one, but a bit of a twisted one. Cause there's a murder involved, and it's also a courtroom drama. With flashbacks. So it's really interesting. This was based on a 2018 novel by American author Delia Owens. And it was a really popular novel, apparently. And this girl, Kaya, grows up in the marshes of North Carolina, and everybody is very poor. She doesn't have any like shoes, and it's really sad the way this girl came up. Her father was fucking abusive. Her mother left the family. So I can't take this shit. And she left. And then her brothers and sisters left too. And so she's just there by herself with this house. And she's very in tune with nature. She's an artist, and she can draw the wildlife beautifully. And then she meets this young man that she falls in love with, and he teaches her how to read. And then he goes away to college. And then there's another guy who's a jock of the town, and he's like managing a hardware store. And he's a piece of shit because he is engaged to this another woman, and he's sneaking off to the marsh and messing around with Kaya. And the only people that really seem to care about her, obviously, is a black couple that runs the general store, and they're really kind to her, and they give her, help her with supplies and stuff like that. And then you get to where one day you find this guy, the jock that's two-timing her, you find that he's dead, and they immediately blame Kaya, and then that's where the courtroom drama ensues. And then then you get the flashback, so you learn more about all the different characters, and it's kind of a bit of a, I don't want to spoil it, it's a bit of a twist ending. If I get, you know, when I start talking about movies and stuff, hopefully we'll get the great Dr. Veronica Paredes back on the show. We've been in talks. We're going to try to make something happen soon. So I'm excited about that. And we'll get to talk, and then maybe I'll reveal more. But people were asking me, because I posted on my Instagram and Facebook stories that I was seeing it. I took a picture of the poster and just, you know, threw it up. And a couple people were asking me, is it good? And I said, you know, it's solid. It's not something that you have to run to see. When it's on a streaming channel, you know, you could probably on VOD, you'd be entertained. You know, I was actually pretty excited to see this one because Reese Witherspoon produced it. It's from her production company. And so I was like, okay, you know, I love Reese Witherspoon. So I'm going to check it out. What I'm hoping for, and I talked about this last month, I believe, when I was talking about this Tracy Flick Can't Win, that I hope Reese Witherspoon produces this. I hope something happens where she's in this and she reprises an older version of Tracy Flick, and maybe she can get that Oscar that for that role that she deserved in 1999. But I think that if that book was turned into a film, which I believe they are in talks for, I think it's almost primed for a certain character to get to be like one of another focal point. So I guess Reese as Tracy Flick would be the lead. And then this other character would probably be like a best supporting actor candidate if they did it right. But I like this girl, this woman, Daisy Edgar Jones. She's really good. I've seen her. She was in this thing. What is it? Ordinary People on Hulu or something. And then she, no, Ordinary People. She was in Normal People on Hulu. And she was in this film Fresh that was good, and Under the Banner of Heaven, the Hulu miniseries. She's in a couple other things, but I've seen her in Fresh, which she's very good in. Excuse me. It seems like she's becoming like the new It girl, and rightfully so. She's good. It's funny, like there are some people making it, like making fun of the film in a positive way, how like, of her, because of her beauty, like there's like, you're, it's fun, it's like you have to have this suspension of disbelief where it's like, you're a marsh girl, they call her marsh girl and make fun of her, and then she grows up to be this beautiful young woman, and somebody was like saying, oh, how did, you know, it's funny how she spent all this time alone in the marsh and her skin's great and her hair is like beautifully swept or whatever you say about women, she has like this makeup on and she just looks better than everybody, and they didn't she looks better than anybody in the town. One of my favorite YouTube channels that do movie reviews is these guys I've mentioned before, called it's Fish Jelly channel, and it's this is a gay couple, this is essentially Men on Films, and they review these movies. I do not watch them before I see the movie. I watch after, because they're able to screen these movies and get to see them early, and then they spoil them. So I just watch after. And I love their commentary, and they were just talking about that, how, you know, she looks better than everybody in the town. One thing that they suggested, that they were saying it should have been a miniseries. We kind of liked it about the same. There's good stuff in this, but like it's not anything groundbreaking, but it's an entertaining movie. I enjoyed it. I just think it's just a solid film. It's not like, oh shit, I got to run out to see them crawdads young. I got to see that, you know, but I think when you do see it, it'll be entertaining, and I think you can have some fun with it. But they suggested that maybe this should have been like a maybe a 6 or 7 episode miniseries where you can stretch out more, because it really was interesting that the pacing was interesting because it took them a while to get to certain places. And because the book, how many pages is the book? So the book has like 2 parts and 368 pages. So there's a lot of stuff in this book. So I can imagine that they, you know, left a lot out, but it is a very solid film. I did enjoy it. It was like a nice, you know, like I always say, like, man, I don't want to see anybody in a costume like that anymore. You're super with lasers coming out their hands, like hand acting. It's just good to see a story. Some of the characters were archetypes, and it's easy to pick something apart, but like I would just say I recommend this movie. You can just see it when it comes out on video. If there's nothing to see, if you want to go out on a date and you want to see something that's not Marvel or superhero based or a cartoon, this is something that, you know, you could have fun with at dinner when you're talking about it, you know. Very solid movie. Daisy Edgar Jones is one of the new It girls. So if she's attached, she's going to be one of these actors where, oh, she's in it. I'll check it out. All right, cool. So yeah, that's it, guys. That's enough for this week. I have to get ready to prepare for this last show. And I just want to thank everybody so much for listening. I really appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.